Drive your lunchtime dollars further with the Subway $5 everyday value range. Delicious value with four Subway 6-inch subs at Subway. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Additional costs for extras. The
Big Breakfast. Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hello there. Welcome to the catch up. Very nice to have you along. Plenty on the show today, including some drama at the Titans.
Drama in here. We had a fight over the who wants to sponsor the Titans. I'm going, it's a gimme. Get out of there as fast as you can.
What do they say? Any exposure is good exposure, Marto. That's the line I was running with.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess they're leaving for the wrong reasons, though. It's meant to be on-field dramas, and they're leaving for off-field dramas, which is very contentious, I feel.
They're blaming something. But if you're paying a lot of money and you don't want to be there, you'll do anything to get out of it, especially if it's the Titans.
Very true. Loopholes. Hey, interesting can of worms today.
Yeah. Should people with allergies have to be charged a surcharge at restaurants?
Correct. And well said.
Struggled with it on the show, still struggling with it now. Mm.
Do you have allergies? Because I think you've had breakfast.
I have an allergy to words.
Yep. Radio has been a good career move for you then. We play Beat the Bowser every day. Of course, we don't do it on the catch-up, but live, just before 8:30, you can win free fuel with Beat the Bowser. Mm. You had a different take on that, a different way to play the game today, Nick Cody.
Yeah, because I only got my license last year, so fuel prices, I don't know, it's never been a thing that's really in my mind. However, my bowels have been.
Nick,
I've been stuck in places where I've gone, I've had three coffees, I've had a sausage roll, I've got to get something done quickly. So I came up with a game called Beat the Bowels, and it was very highbrow.
Well, what an opportunity for one of Australia's best comics to actually just play fart noises for jokes.
Yeah.
Now, that was hilarious.
Some of your best work, I must say.
And actually, my dream.
And roped our boss into it, too. Hoodwinked our boss.
Into fart. So good.
It's very enjoyable. Please enjoy the catch-up.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Allergies have seemed to become a thing of today. Marto, do you have any allergies, like food allergies? Are you lactose intolerant?
I came for the day when allergies didn't exist, Margo.
They never existed, did they?
There was no one at school who had to be careful of anything.
Nick,
I think we ate a lot more dirt.
You're a man of the modern era. Nick, are you a dietary food requirement kind of guy?
No allergies, nothing like that. My sister, though, she's got that, she's celiac, right?
Yeah, well, that's a real thing.
So that's not... That's not gluten intolerant. That's not, my tummy hurts. That is, she's in big trouble. But occasionally she'll just send me a photo of her eating a burger.
Yes.
And she'll just write underneath, worth it.
Yeah. Well, celiacs and nut allergies is a real thing, and it's really prevalent in today's day and age. But there's a lot of those hipster trends that we're finding, you know, with vegans and pescatarians and I'm gluten intolerant, I'm lactose intolerant, and the restaurants have had enough. And so much so that restaurant has gone as far as surcharging hipster allergies. They're charging $5 for anyone who requests vegan or gluten-free.
Is there more work involved?
Well, I think the thing is that they have to follow pretty heavy-duty processes so that gluten doesn't contaminate non-gluten people's food, and there's lots and lots and lots of cafes and restaurants popping up all over every city of Australia that are, you know, vegan-based or plant-based or gluten-free-based or that sort of thing.
But so every restaurant has to have those options. Or you're Gonski, aren't you?
Which they do. So they have gluten-free options, they have vegan options, but this restaurant in particular has come under fire because they're surcharging $5 for those options.
If one's doing it, they'll all start doing it because they'll go, I've had enough of this.
Well, I'm okay with it because I feel that there's enough options for vegans, for gluten-free, for vegetarians, pescatarians, all of those things that we're seeing. There is so
it's
many.
It's like going to the bottle shop. There's too many options.
How do you cater for all of that? You can't. So I think the people who are mainstream cafes, restaurants, you know, they give you the option. They cannot guarantee that there are no traces of, you know, those things that can lead to certain people's allergies. But I think there's a lot of people out there that are just, you know, choosing to have a dietary requirement because it doesn't suit them. I feel a bit bloated, so I'm going to say that I need to have it gluten-free.
Be careful, Margo.
Well, again, celiac disease, like Nick said, is a thing, and I get that.
Yeah, so I've got a mate, though. I love thick shakes. And I was like, man, do you want to have a thick shake? And he goes, I'd love one, but I'll feel sick afterwards. And I'm like, yeah, man, we all will. It's a thick shake.
Yeah.
It's a litre of ice cream with chocolate syrup in it. What were you expecting?
And that's that's choice. Like, yeah. I feel like there's a lot of people that don't have the choice, but there are lots of people that are choosing, you know, to inconvenience restaurants, and I think a surcharge should be in place.
All right. Can I throw one at you? What about if you've got a doctor's certificate saying you have a genuine allergy, you don't have to pay the surcharge?
Well,
but if you go, listen, I'm gluten-free. No, well, shall I say you really? You've got to clear it with the doctor.
Maybe, but look, I just still feel that, you know, restaurants that are running in that mainstream lane of serving food to people.
To masses of people.
I'm giving you the option of gluten-free and vegetarian and vegan. I'm not saying that you can't eat here, but I'm saying if you're going to put my chefs, you know, at an inconvenience, I've got to pay them more. We've got to provide different tools for fry pans that aren't contaminated by said things.
All right,
there's going to be a surcharge in place, and I think $5 is fair enough. They charge me if I want to change my meal.
Yeah, gotcha. Let's open one up and see what everyone else thinks.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
We'll get a vote on this.
Karen from Woolowin, where do you stand on this? Should there be a surcharge?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. Karen, where do you work? What do you do? Why do you feel like this?
I can't tell you where I work because that would be unfair.
Okay. You in the industry?
I am a chef at a daycare.
Okay.
Oh, what do you get in terms of notes from mums and dads?
Oh my god.
Well, it's not just notes. It's big lists and emails and regular reminders, which is fair enough for children who have serious allergies.
Mm. Yeah.
Children that, and we are a nut and egg free centre. We don't allow any nuts whatsoever and no eggs of any, even if there's eggs in a product, not allowed in. So that's okay for most, but there are some other serious ones and we cater to them as best as we possibly can, obviously. Wow. But there are actually a lot of children that we feed here that don't have diagnosed allergies, but there's foods on their list that they are not allowed to have or their parents would prefer they did not have,
so Karen,
regardless of whether they've been tested or not.
What is the preparation difference when you're preparing normal food for a daycare centre or preparing for highly allergised children?
I'll just give you an example of one because otherwise we could be here all day. For gluten-free, we only have a couple of children that are gluten-free, but we have a completely separate board, a completely separate knife, and the bench of which I would work would have to be completely scrubbed and wiped down and sanitised before I can prepare anything on there for that one child.
So, Karen, therefore, that's costing us extra
separate
work, preparation. Should they be charged more to eat at the centre?
Oh, look, I honestly, it's obvious. Well, I don't know about that one. I think for a child that has a proven allergy, I think I'd feel for the parents if they were having to cough up extra money to feed that child, that they're already having enough difficulties. They're already missing out on things that other children are getting. But if it's unproven, if there's a child that's being put into daycare that has no doctor's, no doctor's
medical
paperwork to say this is what we've tested the child on and they have definite allergies to blah, 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 and it's just a thing, then, or it's sometimes we also get a parent that may have the allergy and they just rather the child avoids it completely.
They pass it on to it.
Whether they don't.
Yeah, they replicate it. Karen, that's so comprehensive. What about you, Debbie? What do you reckon about paying more?
No thanks. I have a daughter who has celiac disease.
Okay.
And look, even just going to the supermarket and buying a gluten-free pasta over a normal pasta is three times more expensive.
And it tastes bad, doesn't it? Gluten-free pasta. Yuck. I'm charging you more for garbage.
But is there a reason behind that, Deb, why companies are charging more for gluten-free? Why shouldn't restaurants be allowed to do the same thing? Because we heard from Karen at Woolowin that it is such a process in regards to preparation and making sure that nothing is contaminated. Restaurants who are running just normal businesses that aren't catering towards, you know, gluten-free specifically, it is such a big, rigorous, you know, process for them.
Oh, absolutely, and I agree, and we absolutely appreciate that. And what I would like to point out is, as a family, we frequent restaurants that cater gluten-free.
Yes.
Righto.
So there's, there's even a fishmonger's wife, I'll give them a plug. They actually cater gluten-free fish and chips.
Okay.
We travel across town.
to go there.
But you don't front up at a normal restaurant and expect to get the same sort of offer. Right.
Absolutely not. No, we will. And in fact, in some cases, we've spoken with the waitress at the front. We've spoken with the chef. Do you cater gluten-free if we are celiac? And with that comes consequences.
Deb's realistic.
She gets very, very unwell very, very quickly.
Right, I gotcha.
And as a parent of someone who has this, Deb, you know, you are prepared. You know full well what your daughter can and can't have. Yeah. And, like, I've had a child attend a birthday party of one of my children, and their son is a celiac. They bring their own cake. They bring their own snacks.
That's their reality.
They don't expect me to have to provide gluten-free food because then, you know, then that's an inconvenience to all of the other children.
They're living a reality.
And she knows what her kid can and can't do.
Yep.
No, it's very simple.
Have you ever had gluten-free bread?
No.
I've had a gluten-free scone. It was like a rock.
Yeah, that's why it's more expensive, because concrete powder costs more than wheat. Sweet Lord.
All that said, 65% of callers say people shouldn't have to pay a surcharge for specialised food.
All right.
So there you go.
Jesus. Mm. Okay.
Big breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
From a house down in Melbourne or on the Gold Coast, from the horrors of Ipswich or even up the coast, it's Triple M.
Oh, it's good to be back in the Sunshine State. We're up on the sunny coast today, Noosa, where a taxi driver was assaulted after refusing to take his passengers through a fast food drive-thru.
Oh,
the CCTV footage, what's that?
Standards.
Standards, yeah. Well, the cameras show a man sitting in the front seat of a maxi taxi appearing to become verbally abusive. Now, that should be first sign. If somebody gets in the front seat of a maxi taxi, mate, you've got infinity seats to choose from out the back. You've sat up the front. You're
unheard of.
Right?
All right. So the guy was up front with no one out the back.
There's one male passenger in the back.
What? Oh, didn't like him. Weird.
Now, two people in a maxi taxi, two passengers, you sit up the back. That's why it's a maxi taxi.
That's right.
The other guy starts attacking him from behind, right? The group, who appeared to be wearing fancy dress costumes, then fled from the cab. Now, it says here, it's taxi company's policy for drivers to refuse requests to take passengers through drive-thrus. Oh. Now, no wonder taxis are going down the toilet. Yeah. You tell an Uber driver you'll give them 5 stars and they'll get away drive you from a bank robbery.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Guys, my wife and I are doing a bit of house hunting at the minute. I'm 32, she's 36, we've got a baby. Maybe it's time to try and find a place. So thankfully, this week, a futuristic Gold Coast house with a $30 million price tag. That's come on the market. So.
Oh, nice.
Well, that's very adult of you, Nick Cody.
Better get down to the bank and go, hey. I know what I make, guys, but have you factored my Dolomites account into it?
And here's all
trying
my
to
cash.
Buy property. Hey, now.
Out of interest, where is this? Where are we talking? Are we talking that Sovereign Island where Clive
Sovereign
Palmer
Island.
Owns all the houses?
Yeah, Sovereign Island. What's going on there? I've never been there.
All right. It's at the northern end of the Gold Coast, but it's a little island. I don't know if it was man-made or not, and there's a bridge across to it, so he can virtually seal it off, and there's 150 houses there and all down all these little inlets. It's,
canals.
It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
So it's the Gold Coast, but you want to be away from people that live on the Gold Coast.
It's all like right. Dubai at the Gold Coast. Wow. It's extraordinary.
Well, how's this place, right? It's got 8 ensuited bathrooms, a 16-seat formal dining room, a pool with 24-carat gold-detailed tiles, a steam room, massage room, sauna, tennis court, and a 14-car basement.
Oh, my God.
Finally.
14 cars.
I don't know the off-street parking situation, but I reckon you're pretty much sorted if there's a 14-car basement. But the bit that caught my eye, the front door is worth $500,000.
Oh, my God.
Have you got a picture of it? Is it really big?
That's
is it ornate? What's the deal?
Oh, well, there's a bulletproof door to the main bedroom as well.
Okay.
Because
how much
clearly
did you say
only
was?
Legitimate businessmen have ever lived there. whenever I'm thinking about buying a place, I go, is the bedroom door bulletproof?
There are a lot of bikies on the Gold Coast too, aren't there?
Is it home invasion proof? $500,000 front door to the house.
$500,000 front door. And I've got to know, 133353, a lot of tradies listening. I want to know what's the most ridiculous thing you've seen at a house.
Darren from Ormo.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, have you seen ridiculous stuff on a house?
Yeah, I actually worked on that house.
On that house, Darren?
Yes.
How do you know? What trade are you?
Plumber.
Okay, well, you probably didn't do the pool, but you would have done the bathrooms, would have been spectacular.
Yeah, I wish he was a door salesman.
Yeah, we were there for about 2 years it took to build that house.
Wow. So if the front door is worth $500,000, what are we looking at tapware-wise in the bathrooms, Darren?
The shower rose was worth $15,000.
No.
It'd want to sexually pleasure you for that. Now, what are the features on that shower rose?
The shower rose was actually a tree that came, it was made of silver, sterling silver. Oh, yeah. It came from the floor and out of each branch had a separate shower rose.
Oh, stop it.
I'll have you know, Marto, it doesn't need to be worth $15,000 for it to do that one. Either.
Oh, okay, sorry.
What else, Darren? What else was pretty ridiculous in there? Sue from Collingwood, what have you seen in a house that's pretty ridiculous?
Well, I worked on a three-level house mansion at Sunnybank Hills.
Oh, yeah.
And the clients imported the front of the house, which is probably what these guys have done too. So it's not just the door, Marto. It's like the whole entrance. So they got one out of China and imported it out here, fully bronze. And if they'd had to try to do it here, it was $170,000. And so she imported the whole front of the house. It was cheaper for her to get it made in China, bring it out and install it here. But it was magnificent, but it was pretty ugly.
Are we 2.4 metres? Are we 2.4 high and probably 4 or 5 metres wide? Is that what you're talking about?
No, higher than that. Look, probably, I think it was 9 foot maybe, because the downstairs was really elevated because it was three levels. But, I mean, it's magnificent, but it was just like, what are they thinking? $170,000.
Too much money.
It was nice.
Now, you can't buy taste.
I used to do renos, and often you'd have a look at what sort of car they drive and, you know, how to, by charging. Did you charge them a bit extra, maybe, Sue?
Well, it went on for 2 years, so I did charge them appropriately. But nice. Had I worked out my hourly rate, I would have cried. It just, it wasn't worth it. I did the kitchens. I did the kit. They had two kitchens, a kitchen that they worked in, then a kitchen that was their display kitchen, a big walk-in pantry with a wine cellar. And all the wet bars and the prayer rooms and phenomenal.
What's a display kitchen? Is that just a don't-use-it kitchen?
Well, they use it and serve up, but they don't want you to cook dirty stuff in there and they don't really want you to clean up in there. You go into the other kitchen.
Just normal people going about their lives.
More money than sense, it seems. Chris?
Hey, there's a toilet down the hall there, but in case you actually want to use it, you've got to go to the other toilet. It's a display toilet.
Chris from Logan Village, what have you seen that's ridiculous?
Well, I've seen a bomb shelter that'll take a direct hit by a Scud missile.
Well, you are from Logan Village. I'm assuming this was in the Logan area.
it was in Rochedale, actually.
Of course it was.
What was the person's state of mind? What were they concerned about?
Well, he was a diamond trader.
Righto.
So he had a lot of diamonds on him.
What was his name again, Chris?
I can't remember.
Be my new best friend. I just live in the suburb a couple of streets down.
On you, Chris. Thanks for your calls. Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Margo, I know your expertise in the world of Instagram and you're always going, oh, Marta, did you see that on Instagram? No, I didn't see it on Instagram. It hadn't been opened until 3 months, for 3 months until you yesterday said, show me it. Anyway.
Teaching you as I go.
Just talking about the rugby. Last Saturday, Kath and I went to the pub to watch the rugby, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm standing there watching the screen, all right? The game's on there. You're straight in front of me, bang, bang, bang. You know, she was trying to show interest. Then we had another couple of friends there. And Kath leaned into me and she said, "Do you see that?" I said, "Yeah, I can't believe that was a penalty." She said, "No, did you see that?" And pointed to this guy who was about 3 metres in front of us at another table. So we had a table and there were about six people on it. We knew, four of us knew each other and we were fine, just had our beers resting there. Table similarly, they were watching the footy. There was a large group of them and there was one guy just separate. And I said, what's going on? She said, he just went to one of those people in the group and asked them something, came back to, so she wasn't watching the footage.
No.
Came back to his phone, started, and he wasn't part of the group, I could see that, and started scrolling through. He said, that girl there, you see the blondie? And I said, yeah. he's obviously gone and asked that guy what her name was, and he's going and he's just perving at her Instagram account.
Oh, Insta-stalking.
I then had a look because we were only, by that stage, if I took another step, we were only 2 metres away, and he was scrolling through all the bikini photos of this girl who was, she would have been two people along from him. He didn't know her. It was the greatest act of perversion I've seen in recent times. Is this a thing?
Well, it's condoned and acceptable, isn't it? Because it's social media and it's what people choose to put out on their social media, and they've got to expect that if they're going to put it out there, someone's going to look at it, Marto. Well, and old mate's taking a free purpose.
Is that right?
Well, probably not. They're saying that there's links to social media, and psychologists are saying it's called micro-cheating. When you're liking somebody else's photo that you don't know. So if you
micro-cheating.
If you are a male that follows a heap of, you know, beautiful women, I'm going to assume, and you like their photos or you make comment or you just follow them in general, that it's a form of cheating.
Oh, not the other way around.
Well, it could go the same way. You know,
chicks going to Mad Mike for the 17th time in a weekend. No, that's fine.
No, it's different. Mad Mike shows are different. It's entertainment. It's different. It's different.
What's
to
a Mad Mike show? Oh, that's strippers. Right.
It was a movie about strippers. You don't follow any good-looking units?
Well, I did. And okay. So this was the thing because...
Hold on. You follow blokes?
Yeah, I was following a couple of, you know, like good-looking guys. Yeah.
Why?
Well, I don't know. And it wasn't until that it was brought to my attention because Corey and I had the conversation because I had seen that he had been following, a celebrity, a female celebrity. She's a V8 supercar driver.
Oh, that's okay. They're always in fire.
That's how he just helmet on. Until I went through her Instagram and realised she poses a lot of photos not about cars and more about herself on the beach in a bikini, not wearing much at all.
All V8 drivers have got to have a bit of downtime.
I questioned. I was like, why do you follow her? Why do you like her photos? Why are you engaging with her? And then it wasn't until then that the expectation was that he wasn't allowed to, that I soon realised, well, I shouldn't be allowed to either. So I went through and I unfollowed all of the hot guys on my page.
Why are you deleting messages?
You tried to be secretive. But you've just said it's a female V8 supercar driver. Yeah, there's not many of them.
And she's hot.
Hot,
you know,
V8
she's got,
supercar
how
driver.
She's got a rocking body. But,
how do you
know,
spell
like,
her name?
You'd win guess who with one question there. Is she a hot V8 supercar driver? Yep. All the faces are going down except for the one.
The big breakfast on Triple M.
I'll be honest, I've always been worried about getting to the stage and age of in life where I end up in a nursing home, right? My grandpa's currently in a nursing home. Oh. You see all that footage coming out of nursing homes, people being treated poorly. It looks like a terrible time. I hope to be able to cash out far earlier than
that. Did you see the one yesterday, I think? They're, the females in a nursing home, one of them organised some strippers to come. Oh. Male strippers came and served them lunch one day. It looked like they're starting to spice things up at nursing
homes. That's what you want, isn't it?
Exactly. These blokes just with little aprons on in the semi-nude serving up the old girls.
I hadn't heard that, but now that I know there are strippers coming, I'm starting to listen.
I want to age now.
This has definitely gotten me over the line. Three workers in a North Carolina nursing home have been arrested following allegations that they were running a fight club made up of elderly patients with dementia. I'm all in.
Oh, Jesus.
That's terrible.
I haven't been in a fight in a long time. I can't wait until I'm 75, 80. You don't have to worry about head trauma. You've already got dementia. Just start swinging. Who cares? Chin forward.
Did that hurt?
You can have an aggressive attitude.
That's not okay.
Just have the chin out. Start swinging. Oh, he's forgotten things. Was that pre or post Fight Club at the home? Who cares?
Nick, what's the first rule of Fight Club?
I don't know. Where am I?
The big breakfast. Triple M.
Sometimes see these stories in the paper, usually around after page 8 or 9 or something, just little drug stories. People have gone to court, in trouble, get a slap on the wrist and away you go. But I saw the little headline and it read 66 kilograms of marijuana.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's a fair bit. Mm. Now, I did my math. There's 35 ounces. Hold on, where did I write it? 35 ounces of marijuana in a kilogram. They had 66 kilograms, which is about 2,500 ounces, okay?
How much would you use per use?
I don't know, but you hear, mate.
Is it an ounce?
Yeah, I used
no
to
one
hear,
knows.
Mate.
It's illegal.
Yeah, it's illegal.
But, well, they're looking at legalising it, Nick Cody.
But I think they sell it for about $300 an ounce. And okay. If you've got more than, I worked it out, it's nearly $700,000 worth of marijuana.
In street value?
Yeah. All right, that I don't know what sort it was or whatever, but that's what, if they were bagging it up or whatever they do with it.
Is it medicinal marijuana or marijuana?
All right, that's where we'll get to it, because they got let off. And you think, wow, that seems like a large amount.
Yeah, why?
Well, then I start reading. The mother of 11, now she said she had some anxiety. Now,
if you had 11 kids, you'd have some anxiety. And I would be growing marijuana too.
All right. That seems to be the major issue here, coupled with 11 children.
Wow.
I don't know if she's passed the anxiety
Not much to do out there in Warwick, Marto,
no,
it
it's
seems.
Out in the hills behind Warwick. It seemed quite extraordinary. I think the food bill would be quite high too.
Well, yeah, because the problem is she probably gets up in the morning, wake and bake, little cheeky bong, and then realises she's eaten all 11 of the kids' school lunches. Yeah. She's like, oh, no.
The big breakfast on Triple M.
Channel 7 news last night on my Instagram feed, because I follow all the news outlets, obviously, to stay up to date with what's happening.
Hold on, you followed it on Instagram? Is that the modern way of doing it?
Channel 7 News have an Instagram page, and they put videos of their stories up that they're going to be covering later on in the show kind of stuff. And something interesting sparked my interest, and it was that a man had severed his whole hand off.
I saw this.
Marto.
Yeah. Is this the guy with the mohawk?
Yeah, the meat grinder.
Yeah.
Must have been workplace incident. Was he a butcher or something?
Probably a bandsaw or something has gone straight through his whole hand.
Whole hand off. No fingers, just the palm of his hand left.
Wow. It seemed to take, if everyone's playing along at home in the car, it seemed to take stay in one bit, like the fingers didn't go bing, 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 bing.
Just under the knuckles, wasn't
they
it?
They held on. So it was like, put the whole, it's like cutting a glove in half.
Like a glove, yeah. Oh. But that wasn't the thing that sparked my interest. It was that they were talking about the surgeon who put the severed hand back together.
He's moving his fingers. Can you believe that? Wow.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Like nerve endings. We're talking about massive, intricate surgery here. And they panned to the surgeon to interview him and talk about the surgery. And I was like, hey, I know that guy. Oh. I used to work with him. Dr. Theo Birch is a cosmetic plastic surgeon.
Yeah, that's what it said.
He's apparently a very good one.
Nurse, what will you use?
But you'll never believe it. I mean, you know, now he's a surgeon. I couldn't even believe it, because when I remembered him was when I was about 17, 18. I worked in promotions. I was a promo girl. And he was a promo boy.
Oh.
For which company?
Well, for about 12 months, Brisbane Broncos got rid of the cheerleaders. Do you remember that, Marto, at Suncorp Stadium? They got rid of the cheerleaders for a season?
Not really.
Well,
replace them with promo people.
Yeah, they replaced
them. This will fire up. They have a Red Bull or something.
Yeah, what were you doing?
They replaced us as the Broncos ambassador team, which was called the Hotties and Hunks. And I was a hottie, and Theo was a hunk. And we were like a promotional team that used to just walk around level 3 of Suncorp Stadium.
This is before, while he's in doing medicine at university.
He must have
been.
He's
a hunk.
I didn't know. I just thought he was a good-looking guy wearing a sleeveless vest, working for the Broncos. And now he's like some
He like you talking about this right
surgeon.
Now? Like
probably not. I'm not sure.
Theo was here. Gee, I'm glad you brought that up. Now I'm the most respected hand doctor in Brisbane.
Well, you have to start somewhere, don't you, Marto?
I guess so. Well, that's an extraordinary one.
That's extraordinary. You know, you hear those stories of I'm working my way through college. You know, he was legitimately working his way through university.
I'm going to say that takes the cake. My first job was picking fruit, and where did that go? I ended up becoming a builder. You know, that is there anyone can match that guy?
Like, yeah, well, where did you start? I started at Domino's wobbling a board on the side of the road, and, you know, here I am.
Everyone's got to start somewhere.
But you've got to start somewhere, don't you, Marto? Where did you start, and where are you now?
8:42, big breakfast on Triple M. Marto, Margo and Nick Cody, thanks to Subway. Mostly sunny, top of 29. Taking your calls, 133353. Vocationally, where did you start? What are you doing now?
Yeah, well, a surgeon on the news last night who fixed this man's severed hand, and a very intricate surgery, so he must be pretty good.
Oh, he's got to be one of the world's best to be able to do that.
Yeah, well, it turns out I know him. We used to work together when we were promo people. You know,
let's not say his name again, because at the moment he has the most incredible reputation. you there, and you're dragging it down to, what, was he a little dance boy or what was he doing at the
dance boy? He was a hunk.
Promo staff, so we used to have to hand out flyers at Suncorp Stadium to promote
a little boy that rocks around the outside of the Broncos. Here's a dance for you, part of the crowd, and shoots a T-shirt into the crowd out of a cannon. Is that what he did?
Got to start somewhere. Hey, Marto.
Well, let's see with Brent.
Brent from Crestmead. Where did you start? Where did you end?
This is my cousin. He started off as a bakery delivery driver, driving down to Apollo Bay. And he is now an anaesthetist out of Toowoomba and works on the care flight helicopter out of Toowoomba one day a week.
Oh, amazing. Saving lives.
Brilliant man and also caring man.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I love the fact that he used to deliver carbs.
I wonder if that's how he's putting people to sleep, like just giving them enough sausage rolls that they pass out for the surgery.
Into a food coma.
Annette from Forest Lake, where did they come from? Where are they doing? What are they doing now?
Well, I started off serving ice cream at Norgenvass in the mall, and my grade 10, yes, very noble. I had good forearm muscles, and my German teacher told me I would amount to nothing, and now I'm an international, I know, like really, really supportive teacher, and now I'm an international award-winning publicist. I work with incredible women in business who are innovators and entrepreneurs. And I get to share their stories and shine the light on them.
Yes, so, you do, Annette. Good job.
Yeah. I like that.
Have you helped out the German teacher?
Yeah.
Have you been back to school?
I actually went back and spoke to their year 10 class about what you could do if you put your head down and your bum up.
That's exactly right. It doesn't matter where you start as long as you've got a good work ethic, isn't it?
Did you demand to see that German teacher?
Oh, no, he had left. I did ask after him, and he had already left the school, which I'm not surprised given his motivational style of teaching.
Hold the bitterness, Annette.
He might have died, Annette, so.
Andrew Thornlands, what was your first job? What are you doing now? Where did you come from?
Hey, Margot. I'm a surgeon now as well.
Amazing.
So I actually started doing all sorts of menial jobs, from electrical labouring and pizza delivery driver. She worked on some boats, Marta. I'd probably be impressed with that at one of the boat builders at Bulimba. Yeah, to get through uni. So, mate, plenty of us do it.
God, that's certainly great. Did you know, now we don't want to mention his name again because Margot said, oh, no, it doesn't matter. Did you know the guy who sewed the hand back on?
Little dance
boy? No, I don't.
Dr. Birch.
You know, we sort of move in all sorts of circles, but at the moment I guess I'm in private practice out of the public system. So, no, I haven't come across him.
You guys are, amazing. You are gods. You're incredible. But you do it so tough when you're at uni, don't you?
Oh, yeah, look, I went through, did 2 degrees, and I had 4 kids by the time I'd finished, so I was usually working a few different jobs. So, yeah, mate, you know, you do what you got to do. You put in the hours, do the sacrifices, and hopefully get rewarded for it.
Oh, nice.
You've got to start somewhere, they say.
Very true. Do you think he wasn't getting much business as Dr. Dance Boy, Nick, so he changed it to Dr. Birch?
I didn't mean he was just a dance boy, whatever you call those people. That
a cheerleader?
Hunk.
Yeah. The hunk, the hottie, the hunk
and the hottie.
Brisbane's Triple M.
Now, guys, we've been playing Beat the Bowser for the last week or so, and we'll do again today after 8. And Beat the Bowser, of course, is where a dollar amount keeps rising and rising, and you yell stop before the Bowser explodes, and you will win that amount of cash.
We have given away so much money. No one's failed.
It's gone off
every day. It's been great.
And it's been a super fun comp, and again, we're going to do it after 8. But it got me thinking yesterday. There's a thing that hits a little bit closer to home for me. I'm a big fan of coffee. I love snacks in the morning. So I've come up with my own game. And this game is where I'm going to test it on you guys first.
Okay.
We're going to list food and beverages. And you yell stop, hopefully, before your bowels explode. It's called Beat the Bowels. Let's play.
Triple M's Beat the Bowels.
Okay.
Here we go.
Interesting.
Very highbrow.
Yep.
Very highbrow humour this now.
So we are playing, so we can yell stop at any time, right?
Yep, you've got to yell stop at any time. Okay. There's going to be foods and drinks listed, and you've got to yell stop before you crap your pants.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Are you ready to play? Yes. All you have to do is yell stop. Okay. Marto, you want to practice your stop?
Stop!
Very good. Margo?
Stop!
Is that Brendo?
Stop.
Perfect.
More subtle.
Yeah. All right. You ready? You ready to play Beat the Bowels?
All right. Yep. Let's start consuming things.
Let's go.
One coffee. One durry. One Red Bull. Second coffee. One servo pie.
Not well.
Third coffee. Packet of twisties.
Oh, no.
Fourth coffee.
No, surely no. Stop. Ah, we've done it.
There was a little bit of spillage starting to happen. Yeah, I could hear.
Gee whiz.
You've done very well there. You've stopped on. So on fourth coffee.
So we get our prize now, but then what happens? Snacks. We need to know how far we could have gone.
Yeah. Do you want to see how far you could have gone and beat
not
the
sure,
bounce?
Do we? So
what's going to happen?
All right. Let's see how far off you were from exploding.
Oh, good Lord.
I forgot to say you were hungover.
Oh, no.
Fifth coffee. Early morning jog in Greenslopes.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, you were so close.
Animals.
You avoided disaster.
What did we win? Not a laxative.
Clean pants.
Three pairs of
underpants.
Self-respect. Can I just give you a quick Nelson update? I'm talking
Nelson
Asafa Solomona, who, of course, the star of a fight movie that came out of Bali the other night. Now, Nelson's back in Australia pleading his case. Craig Bellamy, the coach, you know, you want good references when you come back. He says he's a normal bloke. This isn't his go. He doesn't fight out on the street,
Yeah, the
Nelson.
Storm are backing him in, aren't they?
Braithen Astor, you know, another referee, says, you know, as in referencer, said, oh, no, I saw what happened. It's all good. So you need people, good people, to back you up for character references. So you go, this is completely out of character. He's helping his mate. Who did he get yesterday to help him out? Who do you want? Andrew Fifita. This is who you want to call you a good bloke.
If it was my brother getting king hit, or, you know, threatening to get glass, mate, I'm not going to stand there and just look at him and what else? Come on, it's common sense.
Did he say threaten with an F?
Yes.
Threaten. I assume some sort of guitar
Don't
reference.
Don't you threaten my friend.
Maybe his name's not Fifita. Maybe it's Fifita. Who knows? Anyway.
It's a big breakfast on Triple A.
Check out the Subway $5 everyday value range. Four seriously good Subway 6-inch subs. Delicious value all day, every day at Subway. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Additional costs for extras.